But everybody still has the capacity to grow into the compassionate male. And the fact that you have articulated this and put it out there, see, that's the new language in the network of the universe. That you've taken, you know, what was there, and you have extended it to something that, you know, you're one person and you have extended it into something that's universal. Hmm. Because it really is universal.
Hi, this is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new compassionate male. You know, one never really knows when we go into one of these tapings where the gold is. Yesterday, my producer, Dennis Tardon, and I had a conversation with Don Frick, the official biographer for the late Robert Greenleaf, who coined the term servant leadership. Well, what happened yesterday was the overall taping was very rich. But you know, right after we said goodbye and the tape was still rolling, there was some gold there too. Let's listen. Man, there's so much. I really, the whole idea, I know that compassion is an aspect, one of the aspects in servant leadership, as it's described in your book, The Seven Pillars of Servant Leadership. That's one aspect of it. And of course, that's my main thrust right now, is to awaken, you know, raise compassion awareness among men. You know, and people, you know, and people say, well, but everybody needs to be compassionate. Well, yeah, they do. But let's look at the elephant in the room. What was the origin of the patriarchy? You know, what's the essence of what's going on here? We guys have got to do this connection like what we were talking about earlier. You know, yes, we've got to move into our heart, but some people, some men think, oh, well, I got to leave my head behind. And they don't get it. It's not an either or, it's a yes and. It's an integration of head and heart. And that's what I'm passionate about. And I see it on top of a foundation of servant leadership, because that was how I was raised. Yeah. And how do we get there? You know, I look at the young folks coming up today, and they're bulletproof. They haven't skinned their chin on the asphalt yet, and they're not going to listen to what we consider wisdom as an older man, you know, and they're destined to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Few are fortunate to have an older mentor. You know, that seems more the exception than the rule. But we get asked that, you know, okay, well, the older guys, we've had enough experience that we kind of get it. But what about the young guys coming up? How do we grow their servant leadership nature?
Well, I tend to believe that it's there for most people to start with, but you're right, it's hidden. Two of the most, I guess, therapeutic activities that led to serious change for me, I'll describe quickly. One is that my sister spent a year at the psychodrama. What's it called? It's the institute founded by the creator of psychodrama, where she went and studied. And while I was out there, I did a psychodrama. Now, I had a particularly traumatic experience happen to me when I was about 6 or 7. And it had come back to me over and over again. And so I went on a stage. I was a protagonist. And different people, there's a director that kind of directs the action. But different people stood in for my dead dog and was sitting in the Jeep nearby, yes, watching it. Stuff like that. Well, after that happened, I mean, I was almost in tears. Usually in a psychodrama, there's some point where symbolically you die.
Yeah.
And so they have to, the director has to bring you back. And one of the best ways to do that is with humor.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I had for years after that, memory tracks about that period in my life, just playing over. The second one I did, so that's a shock. I mean, that was really different. I wasn't going to think my way into the state I ended up in without my body being involved in that case and those muscle memories coming out.
Right.
The second one was back in the 80s when I was doing a men's group. Some of us went for what was called then the New Warrior Training. These are the mythopoetic guys.
Right.
You know, we had
Robert Bly.
Bly was he came to a number of conferences. I got to know him. Anyway, at one point, it was in February, and it was up outside of Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I won't tell you everything we did, but I will say that we had talked about the wild man, you know, and all mm-hmm. the mythology around that. That's part of being male too.
Iron John.
That's Iron John. Mm-hmm. But that person also had compassion. But we have to get back to feeling part of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So I, at one point at about 3 a.m, found myself naked, and it was about 10 degrees, I wasn't cold, running through the absolutely dark woods. I couldn't see anything. Running at full speed and knowing where the trees were and where the log was that I could trip up on. I just knew this landscape, never been there before. That whole weekend, but especially that kind of activity, was so memorable and was so unexpected.
What?
Now, I don't know what that means for normal people.
But for normal
I'm
people?
I'm just saying that normal people who haven't done it, we really aren't normal. Actually, we are in many ways. But, I remember Murphy Brown was on at that time, that TV show. And she did one show on men's group and drumming and kind of made, she was the only one with any balls in the room. Mm-hmm. And that was another question that involves some real physical activity. The question is, who's got your balls?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your mother? You know, is it your father? So this emergence into being authentic self is like a coming out of a cocoon as a butterfly. And it's tough. So I don't recommend that for everybody. I'm just bringing it up because it involved my body, and I learned in ways that I never had before.
I can so relate to that. It from a couple different angles. You know, when we look at the, the rites of passage, when, the young boy, well, I'll take Kenya, for example, just one country. When I was over there, it was coming up on initiation season. And the TV had a report on it. So 20,000 young men will go through the initiation school. And I'm not using the right term exactly, but go through the process. And they had the medical people lined up and everything because these young boys were taking out and they were publicly circumcised. And you don't flinch or you bring shame on your family. They were given a message. Yesterday, you could speak to your mother. Today, you can't. You know, and then here's the indoctrination, what it is to be a man. So they wound you. They scare you. And they give you a message. And as a young man, that imprints. Right. Well, that can happen at any stage in life. And it's a catharsis that happens and it can be for good or it can not turn out so good. Well, so I go back then on to my early days in the Marine Corps and going through our basic training. And what'd they do? They scared the heck out of us. They wounded us in some way. They gave us a message, and we had to rely on one another to survive. And again, that was a change. That was, you know, in our orientation, it was a reprogramming, if you will. And I see my interpretation of my experience with a weekend similar to what you're talking about is that all those things are able to come up and evolve into a new frame of reference from which to tell the story of who I am for my next stage in my life. So that's what came up for me when you were talking about that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Robert Moore said you have to be initiated to the next level of consciousness for king, warrior, magician level, all of them.
Right.
And Iliadi was up at the University of Chicago with him, and he talks so much about initiations. Mm-hmm. So the only initiation I can think of right now in this culture is getting your driver's license.
Exactly.
So parents can't do it. It needs to be the elders.
That's right.
And so what can we do to help initiate people into the capacity they already have? But, you know, you and I are both old Protestants, and that's what the conversion experience was all about. Mm-hmm. It was a ritual. It meant leaving behind, if it was authentic, it meant leaving behind who you were and becoming a baby Christian. You know?
Right.
People didn't come up in that. Understand it.
Right.
But it makes a lot of psychic sense. Now you have in the network men from all different levels and all different, you know, just really, really different. They're all different.
Yes.
And you have cracked the code of allowing them to start to really go deep, because that's what you do. That's the norm in this group. And all those rules in your book, don't fix other people, shut the hell up more, speak when you got something to say, all those things. That's a kind of initiation, having that experience right there, because that's not the way that people mostly. So maybe we're underestimating that. And maybe we need an initiation into the compassionate male full capacity.
Wow.
I don't know what that means.
You know, let me wrap my arms around that one, or wrap my head around it. So we have a contemplative circle. Nobody's there to fix anybody. It's a safe space. Nobody's going to call you out. And a person can speak from the heart without being judged. And over time, a person evolves. And so what I heard you just say was that that's a gradual initiation into a deeper consciousness or a higher level of consciousness. And I've never thought about that, because I think of an initiation being some short period of time, some radical change, because that's what my experience has been. And what you're coming at it from, thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome to what extent I helped at least rethink it a little bit. You know, the Australians do all this stuff. I'm sure they do in Africa. The Aborigines, and the kids are playing with their mothers, and guys with masks come in and kidnap them. They go, oh, no. Mm-hmm. And then after they leave, mothers are sharing a cigarette. Go, that went pretty well, right? And they're gone for 6 months.
Right.
Maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. And everything changes. And so the initiation, I mean, you're in good company if it's a gradual thing. there may be some, there's probably some traumatic wounds uncovered for most people who go to your group because they start to realize things they've pushed down. So it does have a lot of those elements of initiation. And I don't think you even need to necessarily explain this is an initiation.
No.
You can just
no.
do it.
It's being initiated into, I'm going to use this word on purpose, a nurturing environment among men. Because that's a place that so many of us have never been before. I mean, we don't trust each other, first of all. And even the thought of nurturing one another, that doesn't sound like man talk. So it is an initiation into another way of thinking. Not an either or. And that's not to say that other initiations aren't right. But where a person is in their life journey, different forms of initiation serve the various purposes. Huh.
And I don't know if you remember that piece I sent you, Why I Believe in Servant Leadership. I talked about it as being transcultural, mm-hmm. transdoctrinal, because everybody has the impulse to serve.
Right.
Well, I think that this could be, it's kind of an analogy of that. Everybody has a capacity, unless there's some bad wiring in the brain and serious character problems, but everybody still had, we got to say it's a nobler choice to say everybody. May not be totally true, but has the capacity to grow into the compassionate male. And the fact that you have articulated this and put it out there, see, that's the new language in the network of the universe. That you've taken, you know, what was there, and you have extended it to something that, you know, you're one person, and you have extended it into something that's universal. Hmm. Because it really is universal.
You know, thank you for saying that. Karen Armstrong.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Well, you know, she really caught my attention when in 2008 she did the TED Talk. And the point that I learned from her then was that all the great religious traditions in the world, one of the key things they have in common is the golden rule. They all say it differently, but the essence of it is, you know, mm-hmm. either do unto others as you would have them do unto to you, or don't do something to somebody else that you don't want them to do to you. You know, variations of it, but the golden rule is a common thread. And to me, the golden rule plays out as compassion. And so what you were talking about earlier of this servant leadership, the essence of it really is embodied within everyone, as is the essence of the golden rule. And I believe that that is innate, that that's really in our DNA. And there's scientific studies that speak to that. It's not only in our DNA, but it does need to be cultivated, like what you were saying. Let's keep digging into this. I've got my homework to do on what you were sharing about the initiation or the rite of passage and so forth. And I
think there's some, I've got homework too, because there are, could be more specific about qualities. I don't say qualities, skills, capacities, opportunities for Greenleaf's writings to more directly link to the new compassionate male.
I would love that.
That's something I'd like to work on.
I would absolutely love that.